Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Good morning, Fastlane Nation. How you doing? We have an awesome show lined up for you today. We have more breaking silly season news in NASCAR. ESPN 990 WTIG's own Ellery Moore is back to break down week 5 in Maslin football. And then we premiere an all-new series to the show, Married to a Race Car, presented by Arbon. All of that and more today. Let's go.
Woodworks Studios in Stark County on the SNS Radio Network, this is the Fastlane Sports Show. And now, your host, Pete Tonich.
This is the Fastlane Sports Show on the SNS Radio Network. I am your host, Pete. How you doing? Hope you're having a wonderful Friday. It is the weekend. Thank goodness. It's going to be a beautiful weekend here in Northeast Ohio. Hope you have time to get out and enjoy the few remaining nice weekends that we are sure to have. It is, like I said, it's nice sun shining today. It's not as warm as it looks. So maybe take a jacket with you if you're going to be out and about today. Should be a good night to get out and enjoy some high school football, though, tonight. Maybe if your local short track is running this weekend, probably a good time, if you haven't been out yet this year, to check out a race short track. A little bit later in the show, we will have Ellery Moore. He is the play-by-play announcer for Maslin Tigers on ESPN 990 WTIG. He will be joining us to talk about just that, high school football. I can't wait to talk to him later in the show. This is the time of year when the NASCAR silly season goes into full effect. And of course, 2019 has not disappointed over the last several weeks. Just this week, it's not breaking news like right this minute, but earlier this week, Roush Fenway Racing announced that they have officially parted ways. They will be parting ways with longtime driver. He's won a few races at RFR, but Ricky Stenhouse Jr. will not be in the number 17 after the 2019 season. Instead, Roush Fenway Racing has decided to add Chris Buescher back to their lineup. He will be driving the number 17 Ford Mustang in 2020. Chris was driving this. He is driving this year full-time for JTG Daugherty in the number 37 Chevy Camaro. I don't know about you, but when the news broke, it kind of blew my mind. I never thought that of all the drivers at Roush Fenway Racing that have gone through there, you know, kind of thought Stenhouse Jr. was just a staple there. But yeah, my mind was blown when I read the news. So Chris Buescher has driven for Roush Fenway Racing in the past. So he's no stranger to the organization. Obviously, they feel that he is the driver that they want in the 17, and that they feel that he evidently can do better. Maybe they just need some younger talent in the car. I don't know. Obviously, we'll never know why they did this. But Chris Buescher was on the verge of re-signing with JTG in that number 37 car. They tweeted out earlier in the week also that, you know, they were right there. I mean, they were at negotiations. They had everything pretty much drawn up, paperwork and everything. And then this came out and they were like, oh, okay, well, I guess we don't have a driver now. So, and then of course this news has come on the heels of the big news that broke just a few weeks ago, when Levine Family Racing announced that Matt DiBenedetto would no longer be in the number 95 after 2019. And then he's scrambling, thinking, okay, what am I going to do in 2020? And then Paul Menard makes the announcement that he's retiring after 2019, and he recommended to Wood Brothers that they need to sign Matt DiBenedetto. So they signed Matt DiBenedetto. So we'll no longer be driving the number 95 Toyota Camry in 2020. He has signed with Wood Brothers Racing. He'll be driving the iconic number 21 car, the Ford Mustang, in 2020. And then everybody's thinking, okay, what is Joe Gibbs Racing and Levine Family Racing, what are they going to do now in the 95? Because, of course, LFR joined up with Joe Gibbs Racing and switched to Toyotas, became manufacturer partners with them. And, you know, they're getting a little help from Joe Gibbs Racing and everything. So we saw what happened when Joe Gibbs Racing had their hands in and was tied to Furniture Row, of course. It lasted a few good years, and then Furniture Row announced that they were closing up shop, no longer going to be in NASCAR's top series and the Monster Energy Cup Series anymore. So Truex Jr. signed with Joe Gibbs Racing, Suarez was out. He signed with Stuart Haas Racing. So now we've got Levine Family Racing tied to Joe Gibbs Racing. So when Matty D got kicked out of the 95, everybody was scrambling, thinking, okay, is Christopher Bell going to come up to the 95? Are they going to move Eric Jones to the 95 and put Christopher Bell right in Joe Gibbs Racing stable in the 20? But of course, Levine Family Racing announced that they have signed Christopher Bell. So he number 95 Toyota Camry in 2020. Eric Jones will be staying with Joe Gibbs Racing in the 20 car as for now. But, you know, that's the NASCAR silly. We are in full swing. This is the time of year when it starts to happen. You know, drivers start moving around, getting fired, losing their seats, you know, moving from Cup to Xfinity or vice versa. So it's not over yet. We've got a couple more months of the NASCAR silly season to go, and I'm sure that it's not over. That's our breaking news. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. out of the number 17 Roush Fenway Racing car. Chris Buescher will be in it. So now JTG is looking for a driver for their number 37 car for 2020. It's going to be interesting to see who they get to move up maybe to the Cup Series. Maybe a driver moves from one Cup ride to theirs. We don't know right now. We'll have to keep an eye on it, obviously. But if you're on Twitter, you'll know as soon as it happens, because news seems to break quickly on Twitter. That's our NASCAR is in full swing here right now with the playoffs. Of course, we have had two playoff races already: the round of 16 And we've got another one this weekend. The Xfinity Series and the Cup Series both running this weekend at Charlotte's Roval. This is the road course addition to the playoffs that Charlotte came up with. Playoffs? You want to talk about playoffs? That's right. NASCAR playoffs. This is what they call it. The final 10 races of the season. Of course, you've got your round of 16. Those are the 16 drivers that qualified for the playoffs at the end of the regular season. And then it goes to the round of 12, gets narrowed down to the round of 8. And then, of course, the final race, the 10th race of the playoffs, is at Homestead. That will be the final four drivers that are eligible. Right now, we are entering week 3. We are at Charlotte, the Roval. And this is the last race of the first round, round of 16. So after this weekend, we're going to be down to just 12 drivers still in the playoffs. Of course, we know that going into this weekend, there are 3 drivers already locked in: Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, and of course, Martin Truex Jr. Martin Truex Jr. won the first race of round 1 at Vegas. Whenever you win a race in the playoffs, it automatically qualifies you into the next round. So Truex Jr. won Vegas. He said, you know what? I'm not going to let anybody else win and get automatically qualified. So, he went out and won Richmond. So he's won the first 2 races of the playoffs. And by points going into this week, of course, Busch and Harvick are locked into the second round. They've got enough points accumulated so far that they are locked. So Truex Jr., Harvick, and Kyle Busch will be going to the round of 12. That leaves 9 drivers, that leaves 13 drivers fighting for 9 spots. So it's going to be crazy at the Roval. I believe that that's why this race was picked for the third race of the first round. It's going to be nuts to see who fights and what guys do. We saw what happened last year. Jimmy Johnson, Martin Truex Jr. fighting for the win last year at the Roval, wrecking each other, and Blaney going on to win and advancing himself. But there are 4 drivers currently sitting below the 12-man cut line, and that would be Alex Bowman. He's 2 points back. Boyer's 4 points back. Kurt Busch is 14 points back. And then Eric Jones. Eric Jones is 45 points back now from that cut line. He took a huge hit last week in points after the race at Richmond. His car failed post-race inspection. So he was 4th place finish. Joe Gibbs Racing finished 1st through 4th. Eric Jones was 4th, but failing that post-race inspection, I believe it put him back to finishing on the last car in the lead lap, obviously, which I think would have been 38. I think I seen 38th place, maybe. Regardless, he took a huge hit in the points. Didn't help. He was so close to that cut line, but failing that post-race inspection set him back pretty far. So he needs Eric Jones needs a win at the Roval or a huge miracle, because right now he is not looking good to advance to the second round, to the round of 12. And he won a race to get in, but now he's just on the outside looking in right now. So but those other 3 guys, they're pretty close. Like I said, Bowman's only 2 points back, Boyer's 4 points back, and Kurt Busch is 14 points back. All of that is manageable in a race like the Roval, where anything can happen. We know what can happen on a road course race. So that is what's going on so far in the NASCAR playoffs. It'll be fun to watch and see what happens this weekend at the Roval. Yes, I have some notes. I have to keep notes to keep myself on track, or else I will get off track and just start rambling. This is all from the heart. This is all from the heart. So you can take this all that this is all from the heart. So tweet us what you think. Were you shocked by the news that Roush Fenway cut ties with Sting? He's never really been in contention for a championship, but did you see this coming when they signed Newman? Or has this been, the writing on the wall of late? Or was this just total shock to you? I think it was a total shock to me. Like I said, I don't know. He's been there for so long. I just figured, he's just going to finish out his career at Roush Fenway Racing, and who knows what he's going to do now. Does he follow in Casey Kane's footsteps and just take a step away from NASCAR altogether, focus on dirt racing? Who knows? Will he land a ride with one of these? I mean, I don't mean any offense, but a lower tier team like JTG, does he land a ride with them, or, what happens? Who knows? What do you think happened? He's got some wins under his belt. They've been on restrictor plate races, but, there was other drivers that were in the same boat in their career where they won at restrictor plate races only. So who knows? I think Ricky Stenhouse Jr. is one of those drivers in NASCAR where you love him or you hate him. I don't think there's really kind of any in-betweens with Ricky. He doesn't have quite, I don't know. I don't think of the drivers in the garage that are currently running. I wouldn't say he has the respect of all the drivers because we've seen what he has done in the past at races. Ricky Stenhouse, he can cause some damage, and he has caused some damage in races once or twice before. But who knows? Who knows where he lands? Who knows what happens? Like I said, we are right in the middle, the heart of the thick of the NASCAR silly season, and it just keeps getting sillier and sillier as the playoffs will go, as the season winds down. Like I said, more drivers. I'm sure there's going to be a lot more movement. This isn't the end of it. So we'll see who lands in the 37 for 2020, and we'll see where Ricky Stenhouse as well. We've got a lot more coming up in the show. Of course, we've got Ellery Moore. He'll be coming up next at about 12:30. We'll get him on. We'll start talking some high school football, Maslin Tigers. He's a former Maslin Tiger player. He now calls the play-by-plays for them on ESPN 990. I'm excited to talk to him. This will be the third or fourth week that he'll be joining us. So it's always fun talking to him. And then, of course, later on, we have Kelly Smith. She will be joining us later in the show for our new series, Married to a Race Car. I'm excited to get that going. We'll be featuring quite a few drivers, girlfriends, and wives from the local short tracks that we visit and that we are in contact with all the time. We've got Wayne County Speedway in Jennerstown. We've got several girls lined up from Jennerstown that'll be on the show. I think it's going to be a fun little series just to kind of step back and take a look at racing from a different perspective, from the other side, to get these girls' thoughts and opinions and goofiness and see what it's like to be married to a driver or to somebody involved in racing full time. To talk to them and see what they have to say. The ups and downs, we know how dangerous of a sport racing can be. At Jennerstown just last week, one of the drivers that was in contention for a championship, he actually ended up winning the championship, but he had a pretty bad accident in his division and landed on his roof. We'll get the thoughts and ideas from the ladies of racing that when they see something like that happen, what their thoughts are and what goes through their mind and the emotions that they go through throughout the racing season. You know, to a race car, because that's everything that I hear and see, you know, when you talk to these wives and girlfriends of drivers. You know, they're married not only to the driver, but to that car too, you know, especially in a small town short track where the driver, the guy works full time. Especially on the weekends, it's that race car during that racing season. So it'll be fun to talk to them and see what they have to say about that. I can't wait to get that going. Like I said, today at 1 o'clock will be the first episode of Married to a Race Car, and that is presented by Arbonne. Arbonne is a new sponsor to the show. Glad to welcome them to the show as well. I love when we get these companies that reach out to us and want to get on the show. It kind of, you know, lets me know that we're growing, we're getting better as we go, I guess. Listeners tuning in and everything. So I'm happy to welcome them aboard. Be sure to go follow them on Facebook and Twitter. We'll talk a little bit more about Arbonne coming up in the 1 o'clock hour when we start our Married to a Race Car series. So stick around. We'll be right back. Take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we will be joined by Ellery Moore. We'll get him in, and then maybe we'll even ask Ellery a little bit about some college football going on this weekend as well. So stick around.
357 Woodworks is a high-end quality, handcrafted small wood shop. They specialize in butcher blocks, breadboards, and kitchen and dining room tables. You can order anything from home decor to any custom order at 357 Woodworks. 357 Woodworks is located in Canton, Ohio, and can be contacted at 330-316-7847. You can follow them or even contact them on Facebook at 357 Woodworks, and you can connect with them on Instagram at 357 Woodworks. Be sure to mention Fastlane Sports Show when placing an order to get 10% off your order. Again, you can reach them at 330-316-7847. For nearly 100 years, Barbasol has remained the American standard and tradition in shaving. Generations of men and women have trusted Barbasol to look and feel their best during life's greatest moments. Today, Barbasol remains true to the principle of providing products at an honest value that deliver a close, comfortable shave with every use. Be sure to look for a can of Barbasol at your local supermarket or wherever shaving products are sold. Close Shave America, Close Shave Barbasol.
You already know what time it is, man. Let's get to it.
You're listening to the Fastlane Sports Show on the SNS Radio Network.
All right, we are back here on the Fastlane Sports Show on the Slicks and Sticks Radio Network. We will be having Ellery Moore joining us very soon. Of course, he is the play-by-play announcer for the Massillon Tigers on Friday nights on ESPN's 990 WTIG right here in Massillon, Ohio. I'm excited to get him on the line. I'm excited to get talking about some Massillon Tiger football. Love talking high school football with Ellery. He's a good buddy of mine. We go way back. So I'm excited to get him on here as well. Before we get him on the line, while we're waiting on Ellery to call in, college football. Boy, I'll tell you what happened last weekend, huh? Notre Dame Yeah, you let me down. You let me down. I thought maybe we were going to have a chance there against Georgia. But the Bulldogs, obviously, they're ranked. And they took care of business down there in Georgia. But I was actually kind of surprised that Notre Dame only dropped to 10. I thought for sure they would drop a lot farther than that. You know how it is with Notre Dame. They got no love with college football. Not like those SEC and Big Ten schools. They could probably lose two or three games and still make the playoffs. You know how those Big Ten and SEC schools are. Bunch of cheaters over there. but no, college football coming in. What are we coming into? Week 5 already of college football too? That's nuts. It's this time of year, it flies by anyway. But then once high school football gets started, college football, NFL, we got baseball. They're getting ready to finish up regular season, head into the postseason for that. Notre Dame, hey, I'll tell you what, you weren't the only top 25 school to take a loss last weekend. Number 10, Utah, they fell to unranked at the time, USC. USC 23. How about Wisconsin taking care of business at home? Number 11, Michigan went up to Wisconsin, and the Badgers laid it to them. 35-14 was that fine. I know there's probably a lot of people out there, a lot of Michigan haters. They'll tell you that, oh, we weren't surprised. Michigan's overrated. Anybody that's not there, their college team is always overrated. Doesn't matter who it is. If you're an Alabama fan, Ohio State's overrated. If you're a Buckeye fan, Alabama's overrated. Everybody's always overrated in college football. That's why I think college football is a lot better than NFL, obviously. First of all, the game is a lot better. But the fans are a lot more passionate. Number 15, UCF. They went into Pitt, and Pitt came out with a one-point win. Unranked Pitt beat UCF. That does not help UCF's that does not help their cause. They've fought in the last few years, finishing undefeated, winning their conference, not getting any love for the playoffs. But to go up to Pitt and get beat there, so UCF, you were 15th, but we'll take a look where you dropped in the rankings now. Ellery Moore will be joining us here in about 5 or 10 minutes on the air with us. What else we got? TCU at home drops to SMU. They came in and beat them 41-38. Number 17, Texas A&M hosted number 8, Auburn. Kind of not surprised by that. Auburn wins 28-20 in that game. High scoring game, huh? UCLA goes up to Washington State. Washington State was ranked 19th, and that game finished 67-63. Talk about a shootout. Where was the defenses? And that game, UCLA comes out on top of that. And then Colorado beats number 24-ranked Arizona State, 34-31. That was a close one as well. So quite a few top 25 teams getting beat last week. And hopefully we're still on the air. I just got to notice that we're not on the air no more. Uh-oh. If you guys can hear us, let me know. if not, we'll just keep talking. All right. I guess we're still on the air. Okay. Yeah, like I said, Alan Moore, he'll be joining us shortly. He just texted me. He's at work, so as soon as he is available, we'll get him on. Some other college, the new college rankings are out. Not much changed. Top four, still got Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, LSU, Ohio State, Oklahoma, flip-flopped. Ohio State's fifth, now Oklahoma's sixth. Like I said, Notre Dame dropped to 10th. Looking at the top 25, Big Ten, SEC, six teams. Both each have six teams in the top 25. Of course, that's no surprise to that. Those two conferences are the elite teams of NCAA football. But SEC, three of the top four are SEC, Alabama, Georgia, LSU. They got, what, three, four, five, five? Half of the top 10 is SEC as well. So, you know, SEC, Big Ten, they're always battling each other to for bragging rights, of course, to see who the better conference is in college football. Those two conferences are always fighting each other. And but there you go. Big Ten, six teams, top 25. SEC, six teams, top 25. Big Ten's got Michigan State. They are 25th. They've got Michigan at 20, Iowa at 14, Penn State 12, Wisconsin 8, Ohio State 5th, SEC, of course, Alabama 2nd, Georgia 3rd, LSU 4th, Auburn 7th, Florida Gators are 9th. Who else they got in the top 25? They got Texas A&M dropped down to 23rd. So college football, the rankings are getting heated up. And, of course, now we are out of the these teams are getting into their conference play now. Biggest movers after last weekend, number 8, Wisconsin, they jumped 5 spots into the top 10. This week, Cal is ranked 15th. They jumped 8 spots. Of course, biggest movers also Michigan dropping 9 spots to 20th, and Utah dropping out of the top 10. They dropped 9 spots as well, down to 19th place. So college football just getting heated up. Now we're in the conference play. These teams are going to start beating each other up. SEC, Big Ten, you got teams in the top 10, top 15 right now, but of course you're into that conference part of your schedule. That's good. As a Notre Dame fan, only dropping a couple spots to 10th. Now all these teams ahead of them are pretty much Big Ten and SEC teams. They're going to start beating each other up, start getting lost. All Notre Dame's got to do is keep playing Notre Dame football, and they could possibly sneak up there, top 5 again, top 5, top 6, get back up there once these teams start whooping up on each other. So we'll see what goes on. But we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Ellery Moore.
357 Woodworks is a high-end quality, handcrafted small wood shop. They specialize in butcher blocks, breadboards, and kitchen and dining room tables. You can order anything from home decor to any custom order at 357 Woodworks. 357 Woodworks is located in Canton, Ohio, and can be contacted at 330-316-7847. You can follow them or even contact them on Facebook at 357 Woodworks, and you can connect with them on Instagram at 357 Woodworks. Be sure to mention Fastlane Sports Show when placing an order to get 10% off your order. Again, you can reach them at 330-316-7847. For nearly 100 years, Barbasol has remained the American standard and tradition in shaving. Generations of men and women have trusted Barbasol to look and feel their best during life's greatest moment. Today, Barbasol remains true to the principle of providing products at an honest value that deliver a close, comfortable shave with every use. Be sure to look for a can of Barbasol at your local supermarket or wherever shaving products are sold. Close Shave America, Close Shave Barbasol.
You already know what time it is, man. Let's get to it.
You're listening to the Fast Lane Sports Show on the SNS Radio Network.
All right. Hopefully y'all can hear me. I don't know. This talk.com, they're starting to tick me off a little bit today. I don't know what they're got something going on with, but I don't know. But we are live. Hopefully y'all can hear me. I don't know. They're saying that that I'm not connected, but I think I am. So we're waiting on Ellery Moore. He'll be joining us very soon. Oh, hey, speaking of the devil. All right, there we go. Let's get Ellery Moore on the show. Ellery, you there?
I am. How are you doing? How are you doing?
All right. Can you hear me okay?
I can. I got the babies and everything going crazy right now. But I'm here.
Hey, honey. I'm right here.
All right. We are joined on the air right now on the Barbasol Shave phone line by Ellery Moore. He is the play-by-play announcer for ESPN 90. WTIG. You can hear him each and every Friday night, along with Ray Jeske. They call the plays for the Maslin Tigers. Ellery, welcome back. I'm glad that we could do this and that you could come on and join us each week. We're going to week 5 of the Ohio high school football season. That means that after tonight, the regular season is half over. So my first question, after 4 weeks, What kind of a grade would you give the Tigers, an offensive grade, a defensive grade, and then maybe an overall grade?
I'll do it like this. I'll give you offense, defense, special teams, and an overall. Offensively, I'm gonna give them an A. And the reason why I'm not gonna say A+ because I feel like there's so much more that they're going to tap into, and it's because it's so early and they really haven't opened up the playbook, and they've been basically an unstoppable unit, and I'm sticking with the A2 also on that end because they've been so limited when it comes to penalties on the offensive side of the ball. They've been so disciplined. It's actually really good to see. I just haven't reached the A+ yet because I feel like there's going to be more in that offense, more carries for Zion Pfeiffer, more things for Terrence Keith, getting Andrew Wilson, Lamp, and Jaden just to get both of them being over 100 yards a game, and then working on the Hodges, number 4, that receiver, getting him some work in the middle there is going to be huge too. Defensively, I'm going to go B+. My only reason why I'm going B+ on the defensive side of the football now is just I'm just not very comfortable with how we protect the edge in the run game, and our pass rush is very, very limited. I'm not really excited about the pass rush. It's a pass-happy sport now. They love spreading the field. You know you're going to get 3 or 4 wide receivers. Quarterback's going to be in the shotgun. And we, in my opinion, just haven't generated enough pressure on the quarterback. Special teams, I'm going to say A+. I'm going to say A+ because I really feel like the special teams, a lot of the time from the punt game to the kickoff game and to the punt return game, has put Maslin in some great positions to be successful on offense and the defensive side of the football. I love the way our kickoff team goes down and makes big plays down there. I think they've only given up 1 kick return all year, which is pretty good, especially on the high school level. But other than that, they've been killing the punt game and the field position game.
All right.
And then you get to the overall team, I would say an A.
An A.
Yep.
All right. Well, those are some good grades. I'd say that's almost a 4.0 if these kids were getting graded for their team play. Going into week
Absolutely.
Four, Ellery, all we heard was this team coming from PA, how good they are, how dominant they are, undefeated, best team in Western PA. You know, they're going to come in here, they're going to show Massillon what PA football is all about. After watching this game last week, how good are the Tigers against that team?
Oh, my God. Our Tigers are really good, folks. This Massillon Tiger football team is really, really special. And I mean it 100%. Penn Trafford was a very good football team. If they were in Ohio in our division, they would beat a lot of football teams in our division. They had five returning offensive linemen. You don't know how special that is to have at the high school level. It's unbelievable to have at the high school level. Then on top of it, they were missing their star running back too. But they still, the first drive, went 17 plays, 80-plus yards, and scored a touchdown on Massillon's defense. Right down the Massillon defense's throat. It wasn't a lot of passes. It was a lot of running, pound the ball, and they took it to Massillon early. They did that in regards to the idea that they knew offensively, well, on their defensive side of the football, they could not stop Massillon's offense, period. It was nothing that they can really contain, and they knew they had to win in time of possession game. And for that first half, they really took advantage of that, Pete. They really did. They ran the football very, very well. And then once they got away from the running game and started to pass it, then they played in the Massillon's hands because you're able to stop the clock on incomplete pass. And then the Massillon secondary ended up playing a lot better that game than it looked like, especially with two big plays and one for a touchdown that they gave up. But that was just a missed tackle. It had nothing to do with the coverage. It was just a missed tackle in the secondary. Kid made a play. But that Penn Trafford team was as good as advertised, but Massillon is just different. They're a different animal. They're a different program, and they're a different team. And that's why you can make a team as good as Penn Trafford look like 42-21 was a blowout.
First drive, first Massillon won the toss, elected to kick off first, get the ball first at half in the second half. But that first drive, what, Penn Trafford had the ball for 8-9 minutes, converted what, five on third down? It's like every time we had them in a third down situation, they convert it. And like you said, drove it all the way down the field. The title possession in that first quarter, like unbelievable.
Yeah. And they were a quality football team. They were who they said they were, that's who they were. But Massillon, they just didn't understand what Massillon was. And I think it wasn't much about them believing in themselves. To me, it was about them just not understanding their opponent and how challenging Massillon was, especially offensive.
We are talking with ESPN 990 WTIG Zone, Ellery Moore on the Barbasol Shave phone line. Ellery, I'm going to read a quote real quick that was in a paper in PA. Last week they were talking to the Penn Trafford coach. He said their quarterback is as good as it gets, and he's surrounded by two major Division I college receivers. He said they were arguably the best line I've ever seen. I can't think of a line as big and athletic as those guys. Did he sum it up? I mean, is our line that big, that good? Or they
Yeah,
maybe
our
not
line is big, and it's absolutely. It was a perfect storm. Great call by that coach. And like I said, that's the difference in Massillon. They're just special. They're just special, man. It's just a special, special, special program right now. The way Coach Moore and his team has come together after the first year when Aiden took over the helm at quarterback. I had told everybody after that that mentor game to just watch this team grow, you know. Just watch this team grow. And that year we had a great run with a roster that nobody really believed in, right?
Right.
And all of a sudden, the next year, we're breaking all kinds of records, and we're a couple plays away from a state championship or even a player away with Jameer Thomas playing or stopping them on fourth and won on a fake punt from being a state champion. So,
yeah.
Okay.
In the article, he goes on to say that he thinks Gateway can be competitive. They come here October 11th, another team from PA that they actually play. And he said the other thing that impressed him about Maslin was, of course, the stadium seats almost 17,000. He said,
right.
I've never been part of a high school atmosphere like that. Rowan said the driving in the stadium was crazy. There was tailgating all over. They have a jumbotron. There were fireworks before the game, fireworks after touchdown. He said it was like a small school Division I college football game. It was an awesome experience. I'm really glad we did it. Ellery, I mean, we grew up around this. We love it. We eat it. We drink it. We breathe it. We experience this atmosphere every single weekend for 10 weeks a year. We talked last week about how important it was to play at home in a game like this. How much of an effect do you think that playing this game at Maslin has for us against them and them coming in being awe-stricken by, like he said, a college-like atmosphere? You think that helped take them out of the game a little bit for us?
Repeat that question for me one more time, big guy.
You think that that atmosphere that they had to come into, if they've
yeah.
never been in the atmosphere like that, obviously you always love having home field advantage. How do you think
sure.
that was a big part of us staying in the game and coming out on top?
You know what? I wouldn't say it is. And the only reason why I'm not going to say that, because that Penn Trafford team had a lot of seniors who played a lot of football. They had a lot of seniors who played a lot of football. Do I think initially they were in awe when they first got to the stadium? But to come out and drive the ball down the field, 17 plays, 82 yards, and doing what you do, they had plenty of senior leadership and coaching and discipline. They didn't make one penalty that whole drive. I mean, you're talking about a high school football team with no holding penalties, with no procedure penalties, none of those things, all the way down the field for 17 straight plays. They were not scared of that stage, in my opinion. Do I think initially when the momentum switched over to Maslin, does it become overwhelming? Absolutely, it becomes overwhelming at that point. But that senior leadership from the offensive line to the quarterback, even their star receiver, number 12, who I watched on film, and I knew he was going to have a pretty good game against Maslin. Them guys, they never really wavered, man. They really stuck to who they were. I think a little bit in the second half they got a little pass happy because they were trying to run a track meet with Maslin, which you cannot do. But other than that, man, I just think they were ready. Maslin is intimidating. I'm in awe at every time I walk in that stadium. Every time I see that jumbotron, every time I see our indoor, every time I walk in Coach Studer's weight room, every time I touch the turf field, every time I get up in the press box, I'm in awe because I just still can't believe that I am part of a tradition like that, and we are part of a tradition like that. It's just so rare.
Right, and I think that's awesome, especially when you get somebody as an outsider that comes in. Real quick, too, I like what you know Tom McDaniels. All right, he was a
absolutely.
Coach, long time
yeah,
coach.
Of course, I know Tom. Who doesn't know Tom?
Yeah, right. State champion at Canton McKinley. Our biggest rival. Somebody said it's always neat seeing fans that haven't been to Paul Brown before taking pictures like it's Times Square. And Tom McDaniels replied to that tweet and said, in the grandest high school football rivalry in America, the Tigers still have a true home stadium in which to celebrate their rich history. And the Bulldogs, the other half of that grand rivalry, don't. You know, Tom even came over and he announced with Ray for a couple years on 990, announcing the Maslin game. When I see, as a Maslin fan, when I see Tom McDaniels say that, that kind of makes me smile a little bit that he would say something like that because it's true. It really is true. We have an authentic high school football stadium.
Yeah.
And it's 100%. We got an authentic and genuine and borderline crazy, insane community when it comes to Maslin football. I mean, I try to compare it to, you see these great businesses in the world, right? Great guys like Grant Cardone and you know the Bill Gates. Those guys have a fanatic way of doing business and representing themselves, and that's what sets them apart, right? They have a just unbelievable that most people from the outside think they're insane until they see like the final results. You know, like Bill Gates is a billionaire. You know, Grant Cardone is a multimillionaire. He's a sales guy. I'm in car sales, so I think about him all the time. But people think they're crazy. People think they're nuts, right? Because they dive themselves face first into everything they do 100%. And you're like, man, that's insane. I can never give that much energy because I got kids, a wife, work, school, you know, all kinds of other things going on. But Maslin is that type of community. It's that type of organization, if you do say, like, your guy down there in Alabama, what Nick Saban would say about his team. You never hear him say it's a college football team. You hear him say, in this organization, our players in this organization, we have to understand. Maslin is a little organization, man, and it's a community like no other.
Right. We're talking with Ellery Moore. He is the play-by-play for Maslin Tigers for high school football on ESPN. OHSA computer points out, we also have the first Ohio AP poll out. I'm going to ask you this because we're heading into week 5 for Maslin, and we're playing an 0-4 team, but this team, Firestone, God bless their hearts. They've been on our schedule for a long time now. And I love, you know, I don't want to say it because you don't want the kids to think it. But as a fan looking at this week, I look at the schedule. I think, all right, that's our bye week of the season because it's Firestone. We know what the result is going to be. But you still got to come out and play. You still got to come out and play.
You do.
And like I said, God bless Firestone for coming down every year to play Maslin. But going into a game like this, into week 5, the AP poll's out. We're second in the AP poll. We're behind Cincinnati LaSalle for Division II. We're ahead of teams like Winton Woods, Hoban, Toledo Central Catholic, teams that are you know, predominant.
Perennial power, yeah.
Perennial powerhouses. And the computer points for our region, of course, we're first ahead of teams like Hoban. Going into this week, how do you not let that affect you? How do you still prepare for an 0-4 Firestone when stuff like that comes? I know I keep asking you every week, but these are high school kids. Everybody's on Twitter. Everybody's on social media. Everybody sees the news. How do you keep them focused? You got to keep them focused because a team like Firestone could come in, and next thing you know, you're 4-1.
Yeah, and you're going to get embarrassed. And then you're getting embarrassed because you're playing a team that you should be destroying. It's playing with yourself, right? But the whole idea of this, and I said it on my Facebook Live before I got on air on ESPN 990 last week. I said the only thing that's going to get in Maslin's way is Maslin. That's it. There's no other team, in my opinion, in the state of Ohio, and this is as word as it comes out of my mouth, that can beat Maslin but Maslin. I think that's on a Division I level, to Division II level, to Division III level. I don't think there's a team that can beat Maslin. Now, there's some offenses out there, the Forest Hoban, the Ignatius, the LaSalle, even a Perry that will have some success against our defense because that's the most vulnerable. They would have great success because you're going to have to get into a track meet with Maslin. And there's no team in the state of Ohio that can beat Maslin in a track meet. Not one, in my opinion. So I just think this team, it has a senior quarterback. It has a lot of guys that's played a lot of football. I think they're going to come into this game. They're going to approach it to where they got to play as hard as they can, stay healthy as they can, and then get a lot of young guys. I think I'm hoping to see a few different wrinkles in the offense today. I'm hoping to see a little bit more pressure defensively, maybe a couple more blitzes, a few more stunts from the defensive line up front. I'm hoping to see some new things implemented this week for the second half of the season.
We are talking with Ellery. Ellery, I love it when you come on the show. I love talking to you. Real quick, before I let you go, I just want to talk just a couple stats with you real quick, too. I know you love Aiden. He's your man, okay? He's come into Massley, stepped up as a leader, as a captain, and he broke my favorite quarterback's touchdown record. He broke Justin's record. He holds the record now for career touchdown passes. He's about to break Kyle Kemp's passing record. I'm pretty confident he's going to do it tonight against Firestone. He only needs 31 yards to hold the career passing yardage record. We got guys breaking records. The record for most yardage in one game. On the other side of that stat, also, last week, like you said, we have to play discipline. Last week, we had one penalty for 5 yards against that team. That puts us up for the year. We've only got 17 for 130 yards. I say we're playing pretty disciplined and we're breaking records. Man, I'm excited for the last half of this year.
Absolutely. And again, it comes with the experience and what this team has been through. They've been battle tested. They've been very battle tested. They had a whole community just 3 years ago writing them off. Coach Moore's, was his job on the line? Was his staff not good enough? Did we have enough good enough players? Are we going to be, after a couple of scrimmages 3 years ago, people were writing off the season. I said, folks, it's a scrimmage. What are we doing? And then we go against Mentor. We go in there without Jameer Thomas. We lose our starting running back to a knee injury, Marcellus, who was a Blake, who was starting. We lose him on special teams, and our team at that time 3 years ago still fought. Then slip into the net, and then go into the playoffs, D2 that year also. Folks, they're going to be just fine. They're going to continue to break records all year. You're going to have a point where Jaden is going to be the leader receivers in yards and touchdown catches in Massa history. You're going to get to that point with this type of team this year. And then it's all about getting ready for the playoffs. You got another team from Pennsylvania coming in a couple of weeks. You got to play Barberton. You got to play Louisville. I really like that Barberton team. They're a battle-tested team, too, went to the playoffs. And then you got the team from up the street past Kmart that is always a game. And if you just look at the Euclid game that they played very, very well in that Euclid game, man. They played great. So, we got some teams coming up. Finish it. Stay healthy as we can. Protect the quarterback. We're deep. We're very, very deep. I really trust Catrone, number 12, our backup quarterback. I seen him in the playoffs last year stepping in a big stage, come right out, fire a bomb down the field for a touchdown. So, I don't ever want to lose anybody, but I feel like, again, this team can only beat itself.
Yeah. I think we're going to see a lot of Zach tonight. Probably after the first quarter, I'm going to guess. If I'm Coach Moore, if I'm Coach Moore, when we get the ball first, I'm gonna run a 32-yard pass play for Aiden. When he completes it, I'm going to pull him out. I'm going to pull him out, and I'm going to put him back in and let Zach finish out the game. Ellery, thanks again. Thanks again for taking some time coming on, talking high school football. I'm going to let you go for the day. Have a great rest of your day. Good luck tonight on the broadcast. I'm going to be tuning in. Good luck to the Tigers.
Absolutely.
And weekend, man.
All right, man. Go Tigers.
All right. That's Ellery Moore. He is the play-by-play on ESPN 990 WTIG. Thanks again to him for talking high school football. I love it. I love when I get to talk with him. All right, we've got Kelly Smith on the line. She's coming up right next on our new series, Married to a Race Car. I can't wait to get that started. That is presented by Arbonne. So we'll take a quick break, and then as soon as we come back, we'll get into it.
357 Woodworks is a high-end quality, handcrafted small wood shop. They specialize in butcher blocks, breadboards, and kitchen and dining room tables. You can order anything from home decor to any custom order at 357 Woodworks. 357 Woodworks is located in Canton, Ohio, and can be contacted at 330-316-7847. You can follow them or even contact them on Facebook at 357 Woodworks, and you can connect with them on Instagram at 357 Woodworks. Be sure to mention Fastlane Sports Show when placing an order to get 10% off your order. Again, you can reach them at 330-316-7847.
All right, we are back here on the Fastlane Sports Show. Thank you for joining us today. And thank you for bearing with me through all the technical difficulties and issues that we've been having all day. But we are here, we are live, and we are back. And I'm excited to get this new series started. I couldn't have gotten a better person than Kelly to be first on our show. And I'm glad and happy that she was willing to do this. The gist of this new series is to shine a spotlight, like I said, on the ladies of racing, the ladies behind the racing. We wanted to give them a platform to give you, the listeners, an idea of what it is like behind the scenes, but also, you know, be a little goofy, be a little fun, maybe take some questions from the fans. It's not all glitz and glam like you see on some of those other shows with drivers' wives. But this is Married to a Race Car, presented by Arbonn. Arbonn products are pure, safe, and beneficial. All their products are hypoallergenic, vegan, gluten-free, non-GMO, soy-free, organic, dairy-free, paraben-free, mineral oil-free, and plant-based. So if you're looking for something that's healthy and safe, this is it. They're packaged in recyclable containers and never tested on animals. It's time to toss out all your chemical-filled harmful products and place them with skincare, makeup, and nutritional products that are created to help you be the best, healthiest version of yourself. Now, to learn more, visit amandakid.arbonn.com. You can also look Amanda up on Instagram or Facebook at Amanda_LivingClean. That website, again, is Amanda Kidd. It's AmandaKidd.arbonne.com. AmandaKidd.arbonn.com. If you have any questions or want to learn some more about it, she'll be glad to talk to you and explain everything. Also, right now, for listeners of the Fastlane Sports Show only, any purchases made from now until December 1st will get you entered into a giveaway drawing for an Arbonn Christmas basket. So if you're looking for maybe a Christmas idea for the wife or girlfriend or something like that, just for yourself, any purchases made from now till December 1st will get you entered. Just message us with a proof of purchase, and we'll make sure that your name gets entered. And we have Kelly Smith with us now. Hello, Kelly.
Hello. How are you today?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for your patience. We're a little bit behind. We had some technical difficulties a little bit ago, but we are here. And welcome back to the show. It's been a while.
Yeah, I was just trying to think of the last time I was on. It's been a while.
It's been too long, that's for sure. But thank you for being the first guest to be a part of this all-new series, Married to a Race Car, presented by Arbonn. You're joining us today, of course, on the Barbasol Shave phone lines. Be sure to pick up the Barbasol Ultra 6 Plus razors and a can of Barbasol Shave Cream today, wherever shaving products are sold. Kelly, if you're ready, I say we go to some.
Yeah, I'm ready. Let's do it. Yeah.
Okay. Of course, for those of you who are new to the show or don't know Kelly, she is dating a Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series crew member, and he works for the number 11 JGR team of Denny Hamlin. Kelly, how fun is it for you to tell people, say, that your boyfriend works in NASCAR?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much fun it is for me, but I think our kids think it's fun to tell people. You know, they've really gotten to do a lot of fun things over the past several years. You know, they get to go to the shop anytime and take trophies when those come back, which has been quite a lot this year. So that's fun. And see the haulers. They actually got to ride in the little hauler parade for one of the races. And they always sing the national anthem at the Bristol Night Race. So, you know, whenever it can involve like our whole family, I think it's more fun. But, you know, just watching Scott at the racetrack and just engaging all the fans and the people. And he's pretty generous with his time, you know, that he does have at the track. So I think that's the most fun, I think, that we have with it.
Now, we all know that the NASCAR racing season is long. It goes from February to November. And of course, the guys, they get some weekends off here and there throughout the season. They're not gone 36 consecutive weekends. And then, of course, there's some races that are close to home as well. It's got to be kind of tough with Scott being on the road for basically 7 to 8 months traveling with the team.
Yeah, I mean, it has its moments. Like the beginning of the season, we're well-rested and just ready to get going. But, you know, when it comes around this time, like chase time, yeah, I usually don't give them big honey-do lists or make big plans for anything. It's usually pretty stressful, long work hours. You know, he's getting back late, leaves early. And that really, I don't know, it doesn't get really much easier over time. You know, you never really get used to him missing, like, all the kids' choir concerts and sports and weekend activities and going to weddings by myself. But, you know, this is what he loves to do, and, you know, we support him 110%, so.
And I'm sure, though, that, you know, there's got to be some weekends where it's Kelly time, you know, hang out with your girlfriends or go shopping or something, you know, while he's on the West Coast swing or something. So, you know, I'm sure you get to take a little bit of advantage of that too for a little break.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, sometimes it's like, all right, see ya, you know. But most of the time it's kind of sad. But there are some weekends where you just kind of like, okay, have a good time. See you when you get back. I'm going shopping. So, yeah, that definitely happens.
Definitely. We are talking to NASCAR crew member girlfriend Kelly Smith on the Barbasol Shave phone lines. Kelly, we're going to take a quick Twitter question, if you don't mind. We tweeted earlier this week that if you guys had any questions for Kelly, to tweet us, tweet her, and use the hashtag AskFastLane. And we have one here from Brittany. She says, I heard you were going to be on the show. What is your favorite track to go to, and what is the best or coolest part of being associated with NASCAR?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Scott likes Darlington just because the throwback and, you know, all that kind of stuff, and it's close. You can drive to it. I've always liked Dover, and I don't have a good reason. I guess I like if there's a track that has stuff around it to do, like there's a casino there and they have a really good buffet, so I'm all about that. And then there's a beach that's really nice that has a long boardwalk with shops. So I kind of pick races or tend to like tracks that have all the fun stuff around it. But Dover is just such a neat place. There's like easy parking. It's easy to go around. The people are so very kind at that track. So that's probably my favorite. So I always say Dover.
And like, I'm sure it's probably close, you know, for you too. Like you said earlier about Scott being able to drive to Darlington, that's probably not a track where you guys have to make too big of expensive plans of traveling and everything. So that probably adds to it a little bit too, when you pick Dover, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Do you get to hang out with, or do you have, you know, I'm sure you have some friends that are other crew members, wives or girlfriends, you guys get to hang out, whether it's on the weekends when everybody's traveling for a race, or maybe even on a race weekend, you guys kind of coordinate and get to hang out. I'm sure you get to do some of that as well.
Yeah, we definitely do. I have a lot of girlfriends that their husbands, they're all on different teams, which is funny. Like, we all get along. There's no drama. We're all, you know, we all support each other. You know, when, like, Scott's team wins, my phone's always blowing up with those girls, like, congratulating us. And you know, we do that for them, too. So between just the girls that I've met because their husbands know Scott or I've met them along the way, actually, like our NASCAR church's MRO, Motor Racing Outreach, they try to get a lot of the girls together, whether it be like weekend socials or Bible studies or just doing like a painting class or a dinner or something. And then also Joe Gibbs Racing does a really good job of doing things like once a month for the ladies and going out to shows or doing just anything that really keep your support system close. So it's just really nice. It's like your own little community. So it is really cool to have, you know, not many people understand what we go through or the schedule and stuff like that. So we always have just these big groups of girls that help each other out. So yeah, we definitely do things together.
I like what you said there too, kind of like a support group. You guys are probably all close and have been for a few years. So it's like your own little tiny personal private support group too. Like,
yeah,
I'm sure like girlfriends do, you guys have one another to lean on, and that probably helps too. You know, when the guys are away, 3, 4, 5 weekends in a row, you know, you guys have that emotional support there with your girlfriends.
Yeah. Yep, exactly.
And also I'm sure some of them have kids. So that's probably a plus too. If the kids can all get together and have friends to play with, especially on a race weekend, I'm sure if the kids are all there, you know, they've got something to do and people to hang out with too. So that probably helps.
Yes, it does. And most of them do have kids. So that's makes it pretty fun.
Now, we follow you on Twitter, and we have for several years. I mean, we're kind of old buddies, you know, if we go way back on Twitter. Even though we've never officially met yet in person, but we have a chance still. So, we see you talking about going to races throughout the year. And usually you always give your Twitter friends and family and fans a heads up when you're going to be at a track. When do you sit down and decide like which races you're going to go to? Like how does that come? Is that in the off season or in February, or, you know, when do you decide this is the tracks I'm going to go to?
Yeah, I used to travel a ton with him. But, you know, as the kids get older, they have their own things. It's harder. I mean, we still go to like 10, 12 races a year. I used to sit down and just plan everything out, like absolutely everything out. But now, I don't know, I just kind of wing it. Like, I have no idea what I'm doing the rest of the season. I know I'll be at a couple, but I have no plans. Nothing. So that's kind of changed over the years, but yeah, I think it's fun to you know, plan races and pick which states I want to go to or places that I haven't been yet, which I think I've been to most all of them except for two. But if they have like good shops or a nice pool or other wives are going, those are the ones that I usually try to go to. And like, I think I'm probably going to go to Talladega. And so that's always fun. I know not the guys that work on the cars think it's fun, but I love it when they wreck. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that, but I can't help it. I just love it. So I usually try to go to Daytona or Talladega every year, at least one of the two. So, but yeah, so I used to plan a lot, but now I just kind of wing it. So.
And what's the way the schedule for NASCAR works? You know, we know East Coast, West Coast, in the South, you know, in the Midwest. I'm sure that's got to be kind of cool for you as well, because I'm sure that, and I know you have before, I've seen you before, you and Scott have done this, but even for like a West Coast swing, I'm sure that you not only get to go to a race, but you're going to a race in maybe a different part of the country. Like you said, there's maybe only a couple tracks you haven't been to. So that's got to be neat to see different parts of the country throughout the year, especially the way we travel from the spring through summer and fall, get to see different parts of the year, times of year. That's got to be kind of cool too.
Yeah. Oh, it's definitely neat and that I could travel with him. It makes it easy and fun. We have like a little map at home and we pin everywhere that we've been together. I know, that's so cute, isn't it? but he doesn't have much time off like during the race weekend. So we usually just have time for dinner. But it does feel like just little mini vacations. And I don't think many women get to watch their man work. And so that's kind of fun. But yeah, just going to different states and seeing different things and trying to find like a fair or a festival or a show or concert or something going on when we're there. We usually try to do that. So yeah, it makes it really fun.
If you don't mind, we'll take another Twitter question. Yeah, we have one here from, I know you'll like this one. This is from, his Twitter handle is JGB331, JGB. He says, he asks, when you like a different driver, other than the one your significant other works for, do you rub it in when they win?
This question is so funny and so good. So way back when, I was a huge Jeff Gordon fan because he was really the first person I met in racing. So I just loved Jeff. But Scott at the time was on the two car. So I remember, I'm sure y'all remember too, the Texas race, the fall Texas race. Scott had actually sent me a text and he was like, I think Jeff is mad at us. And I thought, oh gosh, like why? So I turn on the race and right as I turn it on, it's like the whole fight between Brad and Jeff. And I am just like blowing up Scott's phone, like all in good fun, obviously, but you know, you better not touch my man. You better not touch my Jeff. So that was pretty crazy, but all in good fun. But since then, you know, I really don't cheer for anyone but who he works for and his team and all that kind of stuff. So obviously, like all my girlfriends that are on different teams, you want to see them do well. And if they win, you know, obviously we're happy and, you know, they get to advance into the chase and all that kind of stuff. But I really don't rub anything in. That's kind of not good territory for him when he's stressed. So I kind of let that go. But yeah, it is fun. It is fun.
When you get to go to races again, you know, we see this on Twitter, and we'd like to see a little bit more, but we understand with time and you have a life also, because it's hard for us to be on Twitter all the time. I'd like to be, but you know, doing the social media, the script work for the show and doing the show and getting guests set up. We know how stressful life can be, plus having a full-time job. But we see you interact with the fans a lot. Every now and then you'll do a Q&A. You'll have people tweet you questions and you'll try and answer them best you can or get to interact with the fans. And I've said it before quite a bit on Twitter, you know, not to get off track a little bit, but just to kind of set up this next question. You know, you see a lot of these celebrities, especially NASCAR drivers, they're tweeting all the time about all the negativity and blah, blah, blah. But yet that's all you see them respond to. All they do is they respond to the people that are being bullied or being mean or saying negative things. It's like quit responding to them and quit giving them a platform to talk on and start talking to the fans that are actually good and cheer for you and whatever, blah, blah, blah. But like I said, you interact with the fans a lot too. So when you do get to a race and get to go to a track, do you ever try and meet up with fans or talk to fans at the track? Obviously, you don't want to do it outside the track because there's a bunch of weirdos and creeps out there. But while you're at the track, is there any fans that you reach out to that are at that race and try and meet up with them and get to meet them and meet your friends and fans face to face?
Oh yes, that's like my favorite part of the whole weekend. I just think it makes those lives so much easier and fun. Just getting to see people face to face that you see on Twitter all the time. I've probably met like, I don't know, 20, maybe 30 throughout the years. And now I see those same people every year, or they kind of let me know like, hey, I'm going to go to this race. I'm going to drive to this state. And it's just fun. Like I absolutely love meeting up with people. And some of those people have become like really good friends. They're almost family really. You know, the season's just so long and it's just the same thing week in and week out. So, you know, we can meet up with a familiar face or meet someone new. Like, I love that. I've gotten some messages after and it's like, hey, I saw you, but like, I didn't want to bother you. And I'm not really like a Denny Hamlin fan. I'm like, hey, that's okay. You know, like bother me, come up, say hi to Scott. He loves it too. You know, That's just my favorite part of the whole weekend. I just love talking to people, and it kind of gives me something to do. I'm just kind of standing around waiting for him until he's done, which can take up to, you know, an hour before race time. So I'm just kind of like hanging out. So yeah, if anybody's there, I love talking to them. And yeah, that's super fun. And you don't have to be a Denny Hamlin fan. There's so many people that I talk to now that are still like Brad fans from when we were on their car. And now it's like, I still talk to those people, you know, I'm just a human. I'm normal. You know, it's not that you have to like somebody. Heck, I don't care, you know, just come chat. So yeah, I love doing that. I love doing that.
Oh, we have another question on Twitter. This is
okay.
From Brian Johnson, which I believe, I thought I seen him tweet earlier, a picture. I think he might hit Charlotte this weekend, but Brian Johnson wants to know, what's the best part of being in NASCAR and maybe the most difficult part?
I think one response, well, I have one word for both of those, is winning. Like, the best part is watching, you know, someone you love do what they love and win. And when you're there, it's so fun in Victory Lane. Like, I remember my first time in Victory Lane, I was having so much fun. I think it was actually Roger Penske that was like, hey, we spray the beer, we don't drink it. And I'm like, oh gosh, I'm just having a good old time, you know? But, and then the worst part is winning, because I don't know, like, if I'm not there and then I see him win on TV, I'm like, dang it, like, I was going to go there. I had decided not to. So that's kind of the best and the worst, like when you win, but then when you win and you're not there. But I love Brian Johnson. He's a good friend of mine. Met him on Twitter, saw him at tons of different tracks. And now, you know, like a lot of the short tracks like Martinsville, it's just you don't see very good down where we sit. And so I like to take my kids and sit in the stands, and we always sit with Brian. So we have struck up a really good friendship just through Twitter. So it's really fun to do that. I always enjoy those times getting to meet and chat with people and catch up. So that was a good question from Brian.
All right. We are talking with Kelly Smith. And Joe Gibbs Racing, Denny Hamlin car. He's part of that crew. Kelly, if you don't mind, we're going to just take a quick 60-second break. And when we come back, we will ask a couple more questions and maybe get some goofy interactions with you, if you don't mind.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. We'll be right back.
For nearly 100 years, Barbasol has remained the American standard and tradition in shaving. Generations of men and women have trusted Barbasol to look and feel their best during life's greatest moments. Today, Barbasol remains true to the principle of providing products at an honest value that deliver a close, comfortable shave with every use. Be sure to look for a can of Barbasol at your local supermarket or wherever shaving products are sold. Close Shave America, Close Shave Barbasol.
You already know what time it is.
All right, we are back on the Fast Lane Sports Show. We have special guest Kelly Smith with us. She is our first guest as part of the Married to a Race Car presented by Arbonne. Be sure to go to amandakid.arbonne.com to get more information about Arbonne. You can also ask or answer any questions that you may have and get more information from her. Also order some safe products as far as makeup and skincare and things like that. So be sure to check that out. Kelly, what of all the races that you have gone to over the years, we know that you like to go to Dover, but what has been the track that has been your favorite? Maybe it was that race. Maybe it was that weekend. Maybe it was because it was a good family vacation. But what has been your favorite track that you have visited over the years?
I like places like Vegas. They have, well, I think Richmond does now too, probably some others that I'm forgetting, but the new garages where the fans can really get up close, I think that is super cool. In Vegas, just there's so much fun stuff to do in Vegas. So we actually went out there with some of Scott's family last season, so that was fun. But I think this year, you know, the kids went to the Bristol Night Race and sang the national anthem, and then I think we were maybe two laps down, or I can't remember. Gosh, Scott remembers every race from like 1990 and who was leading and how many laps, but I can't remember from Bristol this year. But something happened. We were like two laps down or had a loose wheel or something happened. I don't know. But we came back and won that race. So like our family was there to celebrate. The kids were there. I think that is probably my favorite race of all time, just that we were all there to celebrate it with him. So yeah, I would say that.
Okay. On Twitter, Donna Musgrave, she says, hi, Kelly. So Donna is listening. She says, hi. Kelly, I didn't have this question down, but I kind of wanted to ask you. I just thought about it. You know, you had mentioned MRO earlier, and we had MRO on the show a couple years ago when we first started the podcast. How special is it to have MRO at the track, especially the weekends that you guys visit with the kids and everything? Because if I recall and remember right, they seem to have stuff set up or do stuff for the kids at the track, the kids that show up to the track, not just like driver's kids, but even crew member kids and everything. They have certain places set up for them to go to, like during the race.
Yeah. Yeah, so the kids have to be 18 now to go in the pits and garage area while the track is hot, so while the engines are on. So MRO sets up like a little motor coach area, and they have like snacks and little Bible study lessons sometimes, and crafts and a Wii and a PlayStation, and they're watched there. And so, but not only that, like MRO does so much for everybody at home, at the track, online. They're everywhere, and they're always available for us whenever we need them. They provide like NASCAR chaplains that go around to the teams or pray with people or the drivers or just anyone. They are very, very valuable to our world, I think. Yeah, they do a lot of neat stuff for us. So that's a good question. Definitely would be different without them involved.
Now, is it a thing where, like, during the race, you can, if you have your kids with it, you can kind of drop them off there and then maybe go sit on the pit box and watch the race, or do you have to stay there with them?
Nope, you can drop them off. They have people there that watch them very closely and are very good with them and teach them things while they're there. So, yeah, you can drop them off or stay with them and take a break, kick your feet up, have a snack. So yeah, either way.
Well, that's cool. And that is neat. Like I said, we had MRO on the show, and they explained to us a lot about their outreach and everything that they do for racing. So that's really neat that they do that, especially, you know, a lot of the teams, the drivers, the crews obviously have families and kids, and that's neat that they do that. Kelly, we still have just a little bit of time left. I thought I would ask you also to kind of be on the goofy side. I know you've done some goofy things being part of NASCAR.
Oh, I have not.
I believe, weren't you a part of
fake news? Don't be spreading fake news now.
weren't you a part of a race in like heels or something?
Oh gosh, yes. So that was an MRO thing. We were raising money for charity, and you decorate your shoes, put some bling on there. I took some. I didn't take them. Gosh, that sounded horrible. I put some decals from the shop and from the car on the shoes. That were later auctioned off to raise money for charities and MRO and stuff like that. So, but yeah, we, a bunch of girls got together and MRO put it on, and we did a high heel dash and ran in high heels. I was not very good at it. I was more like a starting park, but that's okay. But it was fun. Yeah, it was super fun. Super fun.
That's neat, you know, being a part of NASCAR. You know, a lot of people think that it's all serious business because, you know, you see the drivers, you know, they get in trouble every now and then if they speak their mind or blah, 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 this and that. But there's a lighter side to being involved with and being a part of NASCAR like you are. You know, Scott is on a NASCAR Monster Energy Cup Series team at the highest level. He's busy with the team a lot during the race weekends, but it's neat to see that you guys on the other side of that watching, you know, because you know, Scott's down there on pit road while they're doing pit changes, you know, pit stops, everything during a race. So we know the dangers. We know that there's guys that have gotten injured before, crew members have gotten injured before. So, you know, being on the other side of that as a spouse or as a girlfriend, a wife, you know, it's got to be nerve-wracking sometimes, but it's neat to see the lighter side of that too, that you guys have fun. You guys hang out with each other, the girlfriends and wives, you guys hang out with each other, but it's not all glitz and glam and high society, high lifestyle. You know, you guys are real people. Like you said earlier, you're a real person. When you're at the track, you like to meet the fans of racing as well, and you obviously have some fans too. So you get to meet.
Oh, I don't know about that.
So, stop it. Now who's the fake news? You've got fans, Kelly. But it's neat to see that you're just a down to earth person that likes to have fun, and you guys are real people, and that's the premise of this series that I wanted to do, is that you guys are the backbone of racing too. You know, you keep whether it's a driver's wife or girlfriend or a crew member's wife or girlfriend, you guys keep them in line, and we know who the real bosses are, and we appreciate all the girls that are signing up to do this show, and especially you to be the guinea pig, I guess, to do the first show, and I appreciate it very much.
Well, yeah, thank you for having me. I was super excited to chat with you again.
Okay. Well, you have an open invitation anytime that you would like to be on the show. You've got the number. You know when we're on. You can hit me up and let me know, or you could just call in and surprise sometime. But you always have an open invitation anytime, Kelly, to come on this show.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right. Well, you have... Thanks again for coming on, and then you have a wonderful rest of your weekend, and we'll keep in touch with you on Twitter.
All right, sounds good.
Okay, take care.
All right, thanks.
All right, everybody, that was Kelly Smith. I appreciate her coming on and taking some time out of her busy, hectic NASCAR spousal life that she leads. No, I like to have fun with Kelly. She's fun. She's always been very supportive of this show. She's always been great to talk with and chat with. She interacts quite a bit on Twitter. So if you follow her, you can always ask her questions. She'll do Q&As every now and then. And then, like she said earlier, when she's at the track, you know, look her up. And say hi, and make sure you tell her that you like seeing her and talking to her, and we appreciate her coming on the show. We'll have a lot more as part of this series coming up here over the next several months. We've got quite a few girls that have signed up to come on the show from Jennerstown, and we can't wait to get them on the air and talk to them as well. I hope you guys had fun. I hope you enjoyed it. We love doing this, and I know we had some. we'll have to ask that next time. I know we had some technical difficulties at the beginning of the show. I appreciate you guys sticking them out and sticking around and listening and tuning in. So there you have it. Another show in the books. Thank you all for joining this week. I hope you all enjoyed the show as much as I did. I really do. I can't thank you all enough for listening. Like I said, I love doing this, and no place else I'd rather be on a Friday afternoon than sitting here behind the mic and talking to you guys. Program notes, we will not be on tomorrow, though. We have a bunch of stuff going on Saturday as far as, you know, my wife's, the place that she works at, they're having their company picnic tomorrow. So we will be busy with that. And then a buddy of mine is having us over for a cookout. So there will be no show tomorrow here on the SNS Radio Network. No Fastlane Sports Show tomorrow. But don't worry, we will be back next week for Talking Dirty. And, of course, be here next Saturday for Saturday Morning Fantasy Live. But, of course, both shows are powered by Hammer DFS. Be sure to look up Hammer DFS. Go to hammerdfs.com. When you sign up today, you get $10 off your first month subscription. Follow them on Twitter at Hammer DFS. Let them know you've heard about them on the Fast Lane Sports Show. Also, check out 357 Woodworks. They are, of course, sponsors of our studio. They bring us to you guys every weekend. So check them out on Facebook and Instagram. And again, let them know also that you heard about them on the Fast Lane Sports Show. So that does it for all of us here on the Fast Lane Sports Show on the SNS Radio Network. Hope you enjoy your weekend. Have fun. Be safe. Until next week, I'm your host, Pete. See ya!
Thank you for listening.